Father, as we consider your word and the story of your servant Noah, help us to grasp something of the wonderful promise that we see fulfilled in the Lord Jesus, how he is the greater Noah through whom we are safe and saved. Amen. Amen. Well, I read the news last week. Oh boy. Did you hear of the 250 migrant children who were moved from an overcrowded border station in Texas? They'd been detained there for several weeks, separated from their parents, who are simply trying to provide them with a better life. I don't know how you respond, but often I find myself praying, Lord, have mercy on this complicated and messy world. Or did you hear of the Muslim man? He was beaten by a group of Hindus, forced to recite Hindu creeds, and then later died from his injuries. Lord, have mercy on this world filled with violence. Or in Sydney, an IT consultant was sentenced to 3 years for insider trading. Lord, have mercy on this world filled with corruption. And the atrocities and corruption and greed and adultery goes on. Lord, have mercy on us. And what of our hearts? I stopped and I read my heart today. Lord, have mercy. Genesis 6, 5 and 6. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Nothing much seems to have changed, really, since Noah's day. But what does the story of Noah have for us today? What good news is there that God desires us to know? We must notice how bad things are in Noah's day. Sin has spread, it has extended across the whole earth, and sin is intensive. It is in every single human heart. Every inclination is bent towards evil. And we must also notice God's grief. Now, what is grief? It is the loss of something or someone we love. One who is dear to us dies and we grieve because death now separates us from them. Now we know that grief, we experience that in our lives. And here we read that God grieves over us, over all of us, because he has made us to be his beloved children and yet we have chosen to reject him. Instead of life, we chose sin, and that leads to death, and that leads to eternal separation from him. So God's heart is torn over us. He wants us to be his children. That is who he made us to be. But at the same time, he cannot let our rebellion go unpunished. He is the perfect and true parent who grieves over his child, over his children. And how much must God grieve over us today when we refuse him, or when we reject him, when we don't talk to him, or when we think lightly of our sin or do not grieve our sin and happily continue in it? How much God must grieve over all of humanity? But despite all this, notice another longing of the human heart. Notice Lamech's longing. At the end of chapter 5, we come across this man called Lamech. This is not the same Lamech that we saw last week from Genesis 4, who was a descendant of Cain. He cared for neither justice nor mercy. Now, this Lamech in chapter 5 is a descendant of Seth, and he longs for God to act, to do something about the world and the strife that he sees. Listen to his longing from verse 29 of chapter 5. So Lamech named his son Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the toil of our hands. Now, Noah means rest in Hebrew. So Lamech longs for God to bring humanity rest. Now, this is much more than a public holiday or physical rest. This is being in a place where you are right with God, where all things are in their rightful place. That you are with the one who made you in that wonderful relationship. And Lamech longs to be delivered from the cursed ground. And why was the ground cursed? Because Adam and Eve sinned and brought curse through sin into the world. And so Lamech is yearning for sin to be dealt with, for the curse of sin to be lifted, for death to disappear, for true lasting peace with God. So at the same time that you look out onto the world and you pray, Lord, have mercy on us, do you also share Lamech's yearning and pray, Lord, have mercy on us and grant us your peace, to know that you are right when you stand before your Creator, to know that you are loved. If you have this longing, may God answer your prayer if he hasn't already. And in part, God answers Lamech's prayer through his son Noah, but ultimately through a much later son, a future son, the Lord Jesus. And wonderfully, the angel says of Jesus, you will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Lamech doesn't know it yet, but there would come a time when God would bring peace to people on earth. And Jesus would bring in a transformed community, a people washed of their sins, transformed by his grace they did not deserve, and who with their hearts obey him out of joy, because he has delivered them from the depths their sins deserved and raised them up to everlasting life. Is that you? Are you part of his people? Do you have that joy of knowing the Lord? I pray it is. And anyone can have that peace through Jesus. So let me tell you the story about God redeeming the world through Emmanuel, God with us. In the beginning, there weren't many people on earth, but God created them and made them to multiply. And so they spread across the earth. But as they grew in number, they grew in evil. Their hearts were against God. Their hearts were against each other. They brought violence against each other. They brought violence against the earth. They became a source of pain to God, and he grieved. And so God said, I am so sad that I made them. They are wicked and all are corrupt. I will wipe them away, and the earth will be empty again. But when God looked at one man, he couldn't bring himself to do it. That man was Noah, and his heart was turned towards God. Noah trusted God. He had faith in him. And so God told Noah what he would do. I am going to wipe the earth clean with water, but you have to make a boat, and here are the plans. I'm going to wipe the earth clean with water because it is filled with violence, but you will be on the boat along with all kinds of birds and livestock and wild animals and insects, and you and your family and all these animals will be alive on the boat. Well, Noah trusted God and did all God commanded him. He built the boat. He put his family on it. He put the animals on it too, just as God had told him. And then the waters came. They were on the boat and God shut them in, and the rains came and the floods rose. Just as God had once brought dry land out of water, now the land was swallowed up by water. And it came for 40 days. The man in the boat was lifted up high as the waters rose. And all living creatures on earth died, the birds, the livestock, the wild animals, the insects. All the wicked people, the water swept them away. And just as God had once filled the earth with living creatures, now the earth was emptied of life. But those on the boat were safe. God watched over them. And God stopped the waters and sent winds to dry the floods. As in the beginning, dry land appeared from the water once more. And the boat came to rest on a mountain. They waited for the flood to go. Then God said, "Come out, people, birds, livestock, wild animals, insects. Come out to begin again, just like last time." And that's what they did. As in the beginning, an empty earth began to be filled with living creatures. God began again with life on earth. It was a new creation. But people were still the same. But one thing was different: God's promise. Noah gave thanks to God, and God listened. Then God said, "These people still have violence in their hearts, but I will never again wipe the earth clean with water. The earth will keep sowing and growing and harvesting, and seasons and day and night will continue. I am keeping life on earth." Then, just as God had spoken to the first people in the garden, God now spoke to Noah and his family. "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth. The creatures of the earth are yours for food. But when you shed the blood of animals, watch out, because if you bring violence to the earth will bring violence to you." And then God made this promise: "This is my covenant with you, my binding agreement, my commitment to all you and your children and your children's children, and to every living creature and bird and livestock and wild animal and insect. I will never send a flood again to wipe away the earth clean. And the rainbow in the sky is a sign of my promise. So whenever a rainbow appears, look at it. I will look at it and I will say, I am keeping life on earth." And so it was time to begin again. Be fruitful, increase, fill the earth. So Noah and his family, the sons of Noah and their families, began to cultivate the earth once again. And Noah began to plant grapes, and from the grapes he made wine. But instead of truly cultivating the earth, Noah allowed the earth to control him. Noah got drunk on wine, and he lay there shamefully naked. And his younger son saw his father, but instead of covering up his father's shame, exposed his father's shame to his brothers. "Look," he said, "our father is drunk and naked." And so the story of Noah ends sadly. Noah is supposed to be the leader of a new creation, but he is a foolish farmer, not a wise one. And Noah's son does not honor his father, but shames him. And the ways of violence remain among us. This rest Lamech had longed for had not yet come. Peace with God had not yet arrived. Now, the creation will not be destroyed as it was at the flood, but when will we see a new creation? Who will bring about this new creation, this new beginning? Who will lead the way in the new humanity in love and honor and truth, away from violence and shame and evil? Who can bring about this perfect peace with God? Who can please God? Whose heart is fully, wholly, completely turned towards him? It is not the one who went through 40 days of water only to lie drunk and naked. But the one who went through 40 days of desert and yet resisted all the temptations of the evil one. And who can truly care for the earth instead of destroying it? Who can be master over creation instead of being mastered by it? Not the one who got drunk on his own wine, but the one who turned water into wine, who shows us that where he is, there the celebration is, and the one who can still all storms of life. Who can take away shame instead of being shamed? The one who healed a woman who had been bleeding for many, many years, whose touch made her whole, who restored her to her family through his power. He brought her back from death into a community with life. Who is the son who truly honors the father? Not the one who said, "Look, our father is drunk," but the one who, as he prayed in the garden, prayed, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." And who obeyed his father in all things. There was one man lifted high above the water in his boat, and he was saved from death along with seven others. But there was another man lifted high upon a cross, and through him, though he was God who suffered death, countless others would be saved. And the one who was lifted up, he says, "When I was lifted up high, I conquered the powers of darkness. And I give blessing to all who trust me. And in me, you who were once far off have been brought near. Through my body broken for you, my blood shed for you." Others say of this one who was lifted up, "In him we have been made alive. In him God raises us up and seats us with him." And the man lifted high on the cross is a man God raised to his side. That man is the one who pleases God. That man is the one who saves, who wins perfect peace for all who put their trust in him. Through this one man, a new world began. And this time there is one more difference. We know that God is keeping life on earth, but now God is wiping clean the human heart. The hearts of many, and people are being changed. And today, God holds back his righteous judgment for sin. The time has not yet come. He delays his judgment because he is merciful, wanting sinners to be washed in the blood of his Son through his sacrifice and be baptized and renewed with his Holy Spirit. He desires none should perish, but all to come and shelter in his Son, the one who has been lifted up and who saves. Who desires that souls from every tribe and language and nation to be with him forever, to receive and rejoice the perfect rest that is available to them. So the question for you, for me, for us is, will this be true of you? Will you shelter in him from the coming storm? Will you urgently call others to do likewise? Will you walk with him into his new creation? Like everything in the Bible, the story of Noah points us to Jesus. On its own, Noah's story ends sadly and badly. It is incomplete. Sin remains and sin still deserves death. But its true ending is found in Jesus, the good news of God's grace, precisely the life that we never deserve, yet we have been given. And that must transform us. So let us receive that news afresh today. Let's pray. Lord our God, you are always more willing to love us than we desire or deserve. Transform our hearts, that they may rejoice in you and walk with you. We ask this through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us your peace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.